I'm really excited to be able to be doing this. You know, there's a biography on me up on the website, so I'm not going to go too much into detail about myself. I won the Consulting Apprentice Challenge this time. If the folks out there are people who voted for me, I just can't thank you guys enough. I feel very honored to have been selected as that. And I do have a lengthy biography, but I do want to mention that I am actually speaking at the Super Show this year, and definitely want to say hi to everybody that I met throughout my time doing this at Member Solutions. I you know, definitely want to put some names to faces, so please stop in. I'll be talking about a really, really cool topic at the Super Show that can really increase your income a lot. So I will be there for that. But right now, I just want to dive right into this topic because I believe it's the difference between mediocrity and massive success. And I'm not saying that as a judge here. I'm saying that as a person who was mediocre in our school operation, and we only achieved massive success in our school after implementing an upgrade program. I really believe it's the secret. It's something that I don't believe it can be done without. To put it very simply, I've seen a correlation between running a knockout upgrade program and making a lot of money while lowering your quit rate. Our monthly gross really started to rise as our upgrade program got better. With that said, I want to make sure everyone understands that there are right ways and wrong ways to implement and run an upgrade program. However, there's also some leeway in how you can do that. So I'm going to kind of use a metaphor here. Running a business is like a lot like cooking. You use recipes when you're cooking. You use recipes when you're running a business. You may even have like a big giant cookbook that you leave open on the counter, and you're literally following the recipe as you go, and it's so darn complex that you never will memorize it. You always have to read the recipe while you're cooking. Now, you have two kinds of recipes. You have really complex recipes like making a souffle or baking bread. These need to be exact and precise. You can't make substitutions in the key ingredients. If you don't use yeast in your bread, you're not going to have what you expected, and it's actually going to look and taste completely different. If you do not use the precise amount of yeast suggested, it may even change the taste. You can't deviate from these kind of complex recipes. Most of us follow this protocol in our schools when it comes to teaching our martial art. We teach it exact and precise and expect nothing less from any of our assistants in our school, but we do not always run our businesses this way. I go to a lot of seminars and I hear speakers give the recipes, and then I hear a person behind me or in front of me say that they're not going to follow step number two, but step number two is going to change the result drastically. It's changing the recipe. School talk, for example, in my opinion, which is based on my experience, is a complex recipe. If I want 20 kids to come to my school from a school talk and enroll at least 50% of them, I need to follow the recipe, which is from my personal mentor, who I know accomplishes this feat all the time. When I do exactly what he tells me to, what he does, I get very similar results. When I deviate from that recipe, I don't. Therefore, I consider it a very complex recipe. Then there's these non-complex recipes, or simple recipes, like spaghetti and meat sauce. You can substitute or change almost all the ingredients, but as long as you follow the core recipe, it's going to taste somewhat close. You won't ruin the dish if you substitute ziti for spaghetti. You can use more or less olive oil without harming it. You can even use turkey meat instead of ground beef. It may not have the same taste, but it's still going to be identified as spaghetti and meat sauce. An upgrade program is one of those non-complex recipes. You can and should play around with certain ingredients, but you also have to recognize the ones where you must be exact and precise. So my goal is to give you some general ideas that you can take back to either create, change, or improve your upgrade program for optimal results. And the results should be financial and retention for the school, for us, and for the student. It should be an increased level of experience. If your program is not earning you more and keeping your students yours longer and keeping them excited and motivated, then it may need some work. Now, I'm going to be stressing this over and over again. There's no exact recipe for upgrade programs. The way I do it may or may not be the way you should. Mine is structured with a purpose, and the entire process from enrolling someone in as a brand new student to upgrading them is a systemized process. In our school, it's designed so that it's easy for any of our employees, any of our team members, to enroll and upgrade people too. I rarely work in my school anymore. I work on the school all the time. But the reason I can do that and I don't need to be there enrolling and upgrading is that my staff can easily be trained to do that correctly and do just as good of a job as I can. The pricing of each program is such that there should not be any price objections to deal with. So that's the model that I've chosen. Now, I know school owners whose entry-level programs are their upgrade programs. There's nothing wrong with that approach. For my model, I personally find it harder to train others to sell a more expensive basic program. I can sell any program. I'm completely confident I could enroll students into a $200 a month entry-level program and fill my school up. But it can be challenging to find a young instructor or a young program director who can do that as well as I can. And since my goal is not to be in my school selling the programs, I need to make sure my programs are congruent with my goal. So your goal may be to have one instructor yourself with a small school where you do all the teaching and all the selling, and no one can sell better than you in that case. Your basic and upgrade structure is going to be different than mine and should be different than mine. So again, I want to stress this. Understand the kind of school you want. What are your goals? Then take the model of your programs that works in the model of your upgrade program. So I'm going to share two models in particular that I feel are the best model structures for an upgrade program. I'm going to give you some pricing strategies that I feel work best, and I'm going to give you some sales methods that work well. But remember, there's no exact way for you to hammer this into your school. You have to match them to your own business goals. Now, we teach Taekwondo at our school. We never did any kind of weapons in our program. We were just basic Taekwondo. The way we got into it was by creating a leadership team. The way we got into the upgrade programs, we actually started with what would be considered a top-tier program first. And we did this because our biggest need was assistants. We were growing. Our classes were getting bigger, and we had no assistant instructors who were trained. We had black belts, but the black belts stood around and taught the way they thought they should teach, which is imitating the instructor, the chief instructor, and really they were teaching it correctly. So we brought this Member Solutions actually had a fantastic leadership team manual written by Melody Schumann. If you guys don't have that, don't have a leadership team program, or if you even have a leadership team program, I highly recommend getting this. This is an unsolicited recommendation, but that program we bought when Melody Schumann actually first wrote it. We literally were, I think, the first school to buy it. She hadn't even finished it yet, and we had already purchased it. And we've been using it for over 4 years. Although our leadership program has greatly evolved, we still use it as a key component. It's a fantastic training manual. So I believe, and Angela can probably tell you more about it, but I'm pretty sure they offer it in the store that they have online at Member Solutions. Now, where we didn't do the program correct, where we didn't structure the upgrade programs correct, was we charged a flat rate for just a year of the program. There was no extension on contract time. The person paid $350 a year. Now, if they had 5 months on their contract, they paid a prorated amount. So they were only paying for 5 months of leadership. Now, the price point was fine, but one of those ingredients you need to have is time, an extension of time. The right way to do it is to void their current contract. So if they're in the middle of a one-year contract, that gets voided, and they sign an entirely new one for the extended amount of time. Now, every state has different requirements. There are some states where you can't do more than a year contract. Here in Connecticut, the maximum is 2 years. So for us, they sign a two-year contract for our upgrade programs. I believe this is the best method. I believe the best method is 3 years. It usually follows the belt. The cycle to black belt for many schools. However, I do want to make sure everybody knows their state law. Breaking a contract law in a state can result in very, very steep fines. In our state, and I think it might be across the board, it's triple damage, which means if somebody signed up for a 2-year contract and it was $4,000 for that contract, it would be $12,000 penalty. That's a hefty fine. The way our programs go is that we have a basic program. Now, this is our Taekwondo program. It's our core martial art. You can be in this program and get to ninth degree black belt. There are no restrictions on what level you can get to. Some schools will require upgrading to the BBC to move up past a certain point. They keep the basic program basic and remove even sometimes sparring from or key components to the curriculum from the basic curriculum. we don't do this, there's nothing wrong with doing it. You can be very successful keeping your basic program totally basic and requiring them to upgrade. However, realize this changes the way you're going to sell it. Instead of offering them an option, you're offering them an ultimatum: upgrade or be an orange belt forever. Now, both methods do work. Again, make sure you choose which works best for you. In our school, they enroll in a basic program, which is 1 year. Then we have three levels of upgrade. We call them black belt training, master's training, and leadership training. The black belt training has nothing to do with getting the black belt. It is a conceptually that once they are committed to black belt, they are moving up into that first level of advanced program. So we do tie in the black belt, and that's an important component, is tying in black belt with your upgrade programs, tying in degrees with your upgrade program. Each level includes what was in the previous level. So if the first level upgrade is BBT, that includes basic but adds X, Y, and Z. The master's training includes BBT, basic, and adds X, Y, and Z. Our strategy that each level adds a more advanced experience of training, and the BBT gives the students 15 minutes of weapons training during the last part of their class. We like this approach. What happens is it separates the basic from the BBT during the regular hours of the class. During the last 15 minutes, the basic kids in the basic program or adults in the basic program go off on one side of the room and they're working on whatever that basic curriculum is. And they're going to see the weapons program going on. They're going to see that advanced training going on over on the other side of the room. So it kind of markets itself while we teach it. Now, some school owners may do 30-minute classes, dismiss the basic, and BBT stays for 15 minutes longer. Some run a 45-minute class, dismiss, and run the BBT 15 minutes longer. Those all work fine. Our method does mean we need more instructors on the floor. When we split the class up, one takes the basic group, one takes the BBT. If you dismiss, you don't need more than one instructor on the floor. So, again, has to be based on what you can handle. If you're the only instructor, you have to find a model where you can teach both. So, now, please, again, if you're a one-man show and run 45-minute classes, very important, do not go back to your school and tell all your students that classes are now 30 minutes unless they upgrade. They're all going to quit, and then you're going to be really, really mad at me. The correct way to do something like this is to go back and let everyone know you have good news, bad news, and great news. The good news is that you've got a brand new upgrade program where they get to do whatever the curriculum is. The bad news is that the upgrade program happens to be during the last 15 minutes of the class, which means that the basic class is now only 30 minutes. But the great news is that everyone's grandfathered into the upgrade program with no increase in fee. All you need to do is buy the weapon or whatever you want to have for the retail. Now, this is not the ideal because you lose the opportunity to upgrade your current members. But if you're running a one all by yourself, this may be your best option. You never want to change for your existing students and hurt. Okay, it's all about your current situation and goals. But even though you lose the current member upgrade, all the new members are fair game and you will kill on retail. Never take anything away from your current members. They will quit. You will want to kill me. You will have that one family, no matter what you do, that refuses to spend any money in your school under any circumstances and going to see it as a total takeaway because they don't want to pay the lousy $50 for a set of commas or whatever the weapon is. I personally would tell them their class is now 30 minutes and let them leave because in all likeliness they had one foot out the door anyway. But we have not been known to give away a weapon or do something to just appease. I mean, you have to deal with those on a case-by-case basis sometimes. Whenever you make a change, no matter how cool the change is and how much you are giving away for free, someone's not going to like the change. So again, for us, the split in classes in the last 15 minutes works fine. This is a widely used option. Other options that I like are the A and B days scheduling. These are my two favorite options, last 15 minutes during the regular class time and the A and B day options. A and B day may become your basic class. So on A days, this is where you do your core martial arts. And B days become for your upgrade programs only. You may have a very basic level class on your B days, but you only have one time slot available. The rest of the time slots are BBT, Masters, Leadership. Now, A days may be Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. B days are Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. This is the way I would do it if I was starting the school from scratch. But because we offer a very open schedule where anyone can come literally any day, it would be a takeaway. We're not about to tell people their class time. we're changing because that would not be congruent with our strategy. It is, however, okay to force class times and day changes on people as long as you realize people will quit over it and you're okay with that, and it's going to be a very minimal quit conversion. Now, we choose the last 15-minute option because it did not change any scheduling times, and it means to upgrade, they don't have to come on a different day that they may have a conflict with. It makes it hard to have a time objection when that upgrade class is during their time that they're already coming. And in addition to that, they do see the upgrade program. And that's, I believe, a very important component. When the kids are in the school, they need to see what's happening in the upgrade program. If it's hidden off on its own day, only the people in the upgrade program see it. Now, with the AB day, we do need less instructors, which is if that's part of your goal, to have less instructor corps, this could be a good option. The key is to look at your schedule and see how you can change it and adjust it to fit new programs in without completely disrupting what you already have, especially if what you already have is working well. My suggestion when creating your upgrade schedule is to find someone who's doing it the way you want to and then have them help you out. A great place to start is obviously with Member Solutions consultants, or call Member Solutions and ask the folks what schools are doing it this way that they can put you in contact with. Folks are usually more than happy to open their doors to help you out. Go and visit a school and see how it's being run. But make no mistake, it's a difficult process. If you like the AB day method and you don't want to cause disruption, again, you can grandfather all your current members with the requirement that they purchase any new equipment. That's always a key way to do it. Always never penalize people. You don't want to say you have to upgrade or else. You need to grandfather those folks in. When we began our upgrade program, we did have over 200 students, and there was really became a challenge. We didn't want to upgrade, or we didn't want to grandfather that many people. But if you only have 50 students, it may be a different story. Now, I'm going to move on to pricing structure. And this is an important component because the way you price your upgrades is going to affect the way you can sell them. Many schools out there do this cute little thing with their rates, and I used to do it too, like charging 99 or 89. We put like a 9 on there. They make it a dollar less than the next amount up because it looks cheaper. 99 is technically the same as $100, but we keep it at 99 because we are conditioning our members, or we think we're conditioning our members, to think that our rates are less than they actually are. The problem with this little trick is that it hurts when you want to go into upgrading. If you wish to maximize the profit centers in your school, you need to condition your members to spend money, not looking for bargains. I don't want bargain shoppers in my school. We are not, nor do we want to be Walmart. I feel it's important to get your basic membership amount over $100 if you aren't over $100. Now, again, I don't want you to make any dramatic changes. If your basic program is at $75 and you change it to $100 tomorrow, you're going to have big problems. Now, if your basic membership is at 95, changing it to 100 is not a big stretch. So you need to make sure that you're comfortable with what you're going to do. It's not going to disrupt your parents and family members and the people in your school currently. And remember, you can always grandfather people in. You can tell the people $75, you guys aren't going to change. You guys are grandfathered in for X amount of time. And all new people are over $100. If your rate's 95, you're going to go over $100 when you upgrade anyway. So why not just make that base price $100? Now, we make our upgrades. Every upgrade is $25 more per month than the previous upgrade. This allows us to say, when we're asked how much it is, well, it's only $25 more than what you're paying now. Now, we do have down payments on each program that go up $100 for each program. But that, what they will pay over the long run, over the 23 months while on the program, is what we really hone in on. That's what we talk to them about. It's only $25 more a month. So when they ask that initial question, we don't worry about the down payment at that point until they're really, really interested and it's time to talk about pricing. But we want to talk about values and benefits well before we get into pricing, just like we would do in our basic program. Now, I want to do a little example for those of you out there who are still charging under $100. This is an interesting little test here. I want to demonstrate why you have to be over 100 to really be successful at selling upgrades. Grab a blank piece of paper, and on the top, real big, right in the middle, write 99 to 124. That'd be dollar sign 99 TO dollar sign 124. Underneath it, write $100 to $125. Now take a good look at that. Which one looks like the bigger jump in price? Your customers will, even though the logic says it's the same jump price, we're only jumping $25 either case, they're going to view 99 to 124 as worse than going from 100 to 125. This is a deterrent to selling your upgrade programs. It is not the end of the world, but it will create a challenge. Pre-frame your people to spend $125 a month without a problem by getting them over 100. The reason our pricing is 25 between programs is, again, it isn't a big jump in price, which makes it easier for my team to sell. And we also have 3 upgrade programs, which means that by the time they get to the higher programs along the way, they're still paying what we want them to pay. The next kind of big idea thing is this one, we create more revenue in our school. And it's really a simple idea, but it is a huge idea. It's selling upgrade packages. It's much easier to get someone to purchase something when they already have their wallet out. So while you are upgrading somebody and they're signing that paperwork and they're making their down payment, we want to try and get them to buy some kind of retail package. And we break our curriculum up the same as our belt cycle. We test for new belts every 3 months. So for the same 3 months, we are working on a different weapon in BBT, different concept in Masters. In leadership, it's a little different. But in those 2 first upgrade levels, we're working on different weapons, different concepts. And with each thing, there's something to purchase. If you don't use weapons and you have nothing to purchase, you can always find something to purchase. You can always look through the Century catalog, find some kind of thing that goes with that theme. So for us, there's 4 weapons per year, and then we repeat the cycle in year 2. So the package is all 4 weapons, an upgrade uniform, and a big bag to carry all that stuff in. This is retail. I believe we get, without looking at my price, we give a discount on that. It's about $350 that we're going to get at that point if they buy it. Most people do buy it. Some just buy the weapon as the cycles change, which is fine. But that's a simple and effective way to build your gross up. So far, I've focused on the structure of your upgrade program from our point of view, from the school owner point. And I wanted to do this for a specific reason. I feel it's important for you to understand the value of having an upgrade program. Otherwise, why go to all these lengths to create one? So I want to summarize a little. If you're taking notes down, I want to go over the benefits to you, the school owner. Number one is increased income. As we optimized our upgrade programs over the year, we saw our gross income improve dramatically. Now, I say optimized because we had upgrades for 2 years that were very mediocre. We did our upgrade class only on Friday afternoons, which meant if you didn't come to class on Friday, you didn't even realize that the program existed. There were no extended time lengths and no limited retail. We only had about 10% of our students in the upgrade program. After we implemented it correctly, we now, on every time somebody upgrades, we make an average, and that's with people who are buying that gear package combined with people who aren't. We make an average of $300 to $400 every time someone signs paperwork to upgrade. About 75% of our students are on upgrade, and that will go over 80% by the end of the year. Excuse me. And number 2 is extended time. They are signed up for a longer term, and this is important. It means we have a higher receivable for a longer period of time, but we also have less time devoted to renewals because I'm not renewing every single student every year. Number 3, it increases retention. The more different and new experiences you can offer your students, the longer they're going to stick around. It's hard enough to keep them interested until black belt, where they have tests every few months. Now they get to black belt all of a sudden. They only have 1 or 2 forms to learn and 2 years, 3 years to wait. How about a master's program with all new curriculum just for black belts? But these are the benefits to you. It's extremely important when you create your upgrade programs to first think about the benefits to them. If you create a program just for the money, your members are going to smell it like shark smells of blood. You always have to strive for value to your students first in everything you do, and the rest then becomes very easy. So as with those simple recipes, there's no right answer on how to develop your curriculum. everybody does a different martial art. We all have similarities, but we all have differences. We all have preferences. We did ours as a basic program. The next level is a BBT, which offers a step outside the world of Taekwondo and an introduction into the world of martial arts. So in the BBT, they get basic experience with swords, kamas, chucks, and bow staff over the 2 years. It could be Japanese style. It could be wushu, some other form. But now they step out of the basic world of Taekwondo and into martial arts. And I look at it as if you were in college, you're majoring in business, but you want to get those liberal arts classes to become more well-rounded. You will never be a politician, maybe, and that's not your goal, but taking political science broadens your appreciation. The next level is master's, and although anyone can join it, we try to focus this on those higher belts who have been around for a while and are looking for that new level. They're a little more stagnant. And we do this as a 30-minute class once a week. We offer 2 time slots for kids and 2 for adults. This program now offers a more in-depth look into the curriculum. It's like minoring in something in college. So instead of getting that liberal arts class, just that one class and that one thing, we're really getting technical into it. We're getting a minor. We brought in MMA into our adult master's training. Our kids who are learning weapons in BBT can now put it all together in demo training and master's. And the curriculum changes every 3 months as well. Again, no right or wrong way to do it. I know folks who change their weapons curriculum every month. And they rotate through it. So they go 3 different weapons, and they rotate it every month. There's no right or wrong answer there. It's just about the value to your students and that's the key. Leadership for us is that the student who not only wants to do more in the martial arts, wants to experience that full martial arts experience, they also want to teach the martial arts. So these are the people who become our instructors and help out in class. We do youth and adult leadership classes twice a month. Now, some schools, their leadership training may be advanced demo training, or XMA is in some schools, that's the highest tier, is XMA is a leadership program. You don't have to teach leadership skills. We're calling it leadership program, but it's our highest level of training. Now, for us, it's an instructor-oriented training. We're teaching leadership skills. Now, the value in our program is something that can be clearly seen. The kids love the BBT and master's curriculum. Leadership is a phenomenal structured program, beginning with Melody Schumann's manual, and we teach them not just how to do the weapons, but we teach them how to teach it. We teach them how to teach the martial arts. We have spent a lot of money investing in programs like this to bring in. Now, one of the very first weapons-based programs we brought in was the chucks, foam chucks, and I basically just learned that off of video I bought. Now, I wasn't teaching them a real structured program at first, but I knew more about it than they did. And that's an important concept. As the student got more sophisticated, the amount of money we spent and invested on learning grew, but it grew in conjunction with our income growing. And we were still providing a valuable program. We now own the XMA program. We're licensed to teach America Top Team at mixed martial arts. But when you're just starting out, you don't need to go crazy. You can buy simple DVDs, learn the material. Kathy Marler has a fantastic musical form DVD. You can teach that. So you're picking up these videos and learning them, or these simple course materials, and you're learning them. As your program grows, you can invest into it deeper. So I've given you a lot of information here, and one thing I want to tell you is not to go implementation crazy. That was probably one of the most important pieces of advice I got. I was told all about how to do these programs. It really opened my eyes when I saw how to do it, and I could see how to bring it into my school. And the first thing the person did who explained this to me is said, slow down. If you have no upgrade program or an upgrade program that's really not working right now, don't go and implement XMA, mixed martial arts, master's training, leadership training. Start at the beginning. Develop a curriculum that works for you. You don't need to go nuts buying certifications and in-depth, expensive training. Just know more than your students know. Make sure it's valuable, whatever you're teaching. I kind of had a lot of the way we sell the program already mentioned in this presentation. But a few fine points on how to sell the program I want to go over now. Number one, you need to make these programs a part of your culture. When people enroll into the basic program, we tell them all about our advanced programs and how, if the instructor feels that they're ready, they're going to be nominated into the program. So from day one, everyone knows that there are advanced program options and that we want them to be in it and that it is an honor to be asked to join. Number two, they have to see it. If your upgrade class is Saturday morning when the school is empty, you need to find ways of making sure people see it. Now, our leadership team is at very off times. There's nobody else in the school when our leadership classes are going on, but people see our leadership mentor, our leadership members, because they mentor and they help assist in classes, and they're the only ones with those red uniforms in the school. It's a visual thing. Number three is display it. When you walk into our school, you're going to see the program packaging and uniforms on the wall. Each uniform is different. We go white uniforms, basic plain white uniforms for basic program. White uniform top, nicer material of uniform, black pants for the BBT. Masters has a blue top with black pants. Leadership has a red top with black pants. And it's really any which way, but you need to differentiate those uniforms, whether it's with patches, whether it's with embroidery. It has to be clearly a very visual thing. So you see that on the wall when you walk into our school, along with a giant sign above it that says the name of that program. Number four, you have to highlight your clubs. Write about them in your monthly newsletter. I just wrote a piece in our monthly newsletter all about our leadership team. I took a picture of the kids after class, and I talked about what the leadership program is, and we probably got three people to upgrade without even asking, because they came in and just told us they really want to be in leadership team. We offer specials occasionally. At testing and graduation time, we may offer a massive upgrade special, $100 off the down payment if you upgrade at the graduation. Talk about them to the students during class. Jimmy, if you want to be in the black belt training program one day, you need to have black belt discipline in class. Number five, make a huge deal out of the nomination process. Do it in front of the class. It's an honor to be nominated. We do it in front of the class. Everybody claps for the child. Now everybody wants to be understanding that this person was nominated for the advanced programs. When they buy the gear package, we walk the gear package out and give it to them in front of the entire class. Number six, make sure you have rapport built. It's no good to speak to them at enrollment time when they come into the basic program and then not speak to them again for 6 months until you want to go upgrade them, ask for more money. We have to be consistently, and this gets into customer service, but consistently talking to our members, greeting our members, building rapport, not just talking about the program. How's your kids doing? How's your family doing? How's your favorite sports? Who's your favorite sports team? Understanding that there's that level of rapport built, so there's a level of trust. People buy from people that they trust, and you want to be that person. You don't want to. The biggest mistake we make is we pay all sorts of attention to them. We're fawning over them when they enroll into that basic program. They come in for their first intro. We're greeting them at the door. We shake their hands. We ask how they're doing, and then we don't talk to them again for three more months until it's graduation time, and now we're asking for a graduation testing fee. It's very disconnected. So we want to make sure that it's a very important concept is talking to our people all the time, checking in, seeing how they're doing, and building that level of trust and rapport. It makes the upgrade process very, very easy. When is it a good time to upgrade? The people are most excited at two points, or a couple key points, during the course of taking the martial arts, and that's on their first day, when they test for their first belt, and probably when they test for black belt. So we will usually target on the first belt test. But there is certainly nothing wrong with that first month goes by. Their excitement is at a peak level. And we go in there and we try and upgrade them. We try not to upgrade people who we honestly don't believe are ready for that yet. We want to create a culture in our school where people understand that that upgrade program is there and that it's an honor to be there, and they have to act at a certain level of discipline, of commitment. They have to be committed to black belt. They have to come to class regularly. They can't complain about coming to class. We want to build that culture, which is going to help us with retention, so that when these kids do get nominated, they're really getting nominated because they are at that advanced level. Now, 80% of our school is targeted to be in the black belt training program. We know there's going to be people in our school who aren't going to want or they're not making martial arts their life. They're just doing it for a hobby. But we want to minimize that number. The same thing with the master's training program with our 80% of our red belts, black belts, of our advanced students should be in that program. With leadership team, we run it a little bit differently because it is our instructor training program. We will not, and it's a very classroom-driven program, we will not let anybody in that program who is not able to sit in a classroom environment. Most adults will qualify for that, but with kids it's a little different. So hopefully you guys have gotten a lot out of this. It's a very, very complex topic if you don't already have an upgrade program or if you have an upgrade program that isn't working. It took us really 2 years of struggling to get this to the point where it's really running correctly. The best recommendation is to go see the way other people do it. If you're not doing it now or if it's not working, go see the way other people do it. Get out of your school, travel around, and check out what others are doing. Thank you, guys. I'm gonna wrap up and open this up for questions. I want to just remind everybody I'm speaking at the Super Show, so please come in and see me. I've got a website also called growyourdojo.com. I've got just some information out there. It's a free website. I'll send you some emails. You can go check out that website. There's a lot of cool resources on there. And, again, thank you, everybody. You there, Angela?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I was talking. I would like to open up the calls to see if anybody has any questions. I have unmuted you all, so if there's anybody on the telephone that has any questions for Michael, you can go ahead and ask now. It doesn't look like we have anybody on the phone that wants to ask any questions, so I will go ahead and look online here.
Sure.
And we do have a couple of questions. I have Larry from Akron, Ohio, would like to know, he says, how do I get my BBC members into Master's Club if it is only offered once a month? Our BBC class works with wooden weapons, and Master's members work with bladed weapons. The reason I offer it once a month is that I do not have enough kids in the program. And also, how much of an increase in tuition should I charge from BBC to Master's Club?
Okay. You might not like this answer, but you gotta run it more often. It's got to be, one of the most important things with these programs is people recognize whether it's worth it or not. They really do. And if it's not valuable to them, they're not going to enroll in it even if it's $2 more a month. So we only recently implemented our master's training program. We had a BBT program and a leadership program. Masters, we did it really backwards. We did everything backwards. We started with our leadership, which is our elite level. And literally, we still have people who are in our leadership level who are paying like three times as much now because they started way back when it was nothing. And that's a hard thing to change a culture of where people are paying nothing to paying almost $200 a month. So we kind of did it backwards. And then we added a black belt club, and now we just added that middle tier, which is a master's club. And our classes are not full either. But you have to offer it twice a week in visible times when people can see it. And you have to – it just has to be there. Once a month may be not valuable to them. Maybe it's at a time they're not seeing it. But we offer two time slots every week. So when you offer one class a month, you're limiting the time. If they can't make that time and they can't make that day, then they can't come that month. Then they only have 11 more times that year they can come, and they're not going to get into that. So make it more visible, and really you got to sell it. Our master's training, and this is a problem, something I'm going to be talking about when I'm at the Super Show, a topic called integrated sales. Typically when we have so many things going on at our school, and we have only so many profit centers in our school, but it's hard to juggle those profit centers around. And when you worry about one profit center, the other profit center may suffer. So if I'm worried about new students, I know my upgrade number may go down that month, and vice versa. Same thing within the profit center. Your profit center is an upgrade program, but if you're concentrated on worried about upgrading people into the BBT, you won't have as many people upgraded into your master's. So I would suggest go create a plan to market that sucker. I would expand it to more than once a month. I would really promote it, maybe do some preview classes where on a Friday or during the BBT, during regular class times, whenever, you can actually show people what this weapon is all about. So you really want to make sure people know about it. And the other thing is, I believe the $25 price gap is what we choose to do. Everybody structures it a little differently. I follow, and this is not a method I made up. This is a method I followed from a very successful bunch of schools. And essentially, it's the basic program is whatever. It's $100. That next program up is $25 more. So it's $125 for the next program. And the next program up is $25 more. So it's $150 for that next program. Not a big jump. If you're paying $125, going to $150 is not that big. I have no problem moving people between programs at those levels. I believe it really needs to be more, at least more than $20, but I would say $25. Hopefully that answers that question.
Okay, great. I've got another one here from Eric in Gainesville, and he would like to know, do you offer paid in full discounts?
Yes. Sort of. Our state, every state is regulated with contract times, and just with, if your state is regulated with contract times, they're going to be regulated with what you can collect in a pay in full. Here in Connecticut, we can only do two-year contracts, and we can only collect 1 year of tuition at a time. So essentially, a pay in full is you know, two payments. We also offer a three-payment option where they can pay their first, they can pay it off within 3 months. It becomes a six-payment option. So if they enroll today, today is March, so they would make payment one in March, payment two in April, payment three in May, and then next March, April, May, they would make their final three payments. So same thing, if they paid in full, they'd only be paying in full for 1 year, which is a pain in the butt, but we have to do it that way because our state regulates us. But I absolutely would do a pay in full. We you can offer whatever you're comfortable with. We offer 10% on the pay in full. Sometimes we'll do a special where we'll offer 15% if it's an upgrade program. But you have to look at statistics as well. You don't want everybody cashing out. You do want that receivables to be built up. If you know 9 out of 10 people are cashing out, either your price is too low or your discount is too high, or a combination. So. But we do want to give an incentive for maybe 10% to pay in full. Now, with that said, we're very Republican with our finances, I guess, or maybe that's the wrong word. We're conservative. That's what I was looking for. We're conservative with what we do with our money. So we have a savings account devoted to that unearned income because you haven't yet earned it. And I know most states will require if that person moves, you know, and you just enrolled them into a two-year program or three-year program, and they paid $8,000 to you, and if in 3 months they move, you now owe them $7,500. That's a big, big chunk of money. So I definitely advocate pay in full. I think it's good for the business. I don't advocate spending it until you've earned it. So put it away in the bank. Don't go buy a car. You put it in the bank, and you pay yourself that money out of your bank account when you need it. And that's what we've been doing. We've done that for years. It works very well because eventually you will have to pay somebody back. I know. I think there's maybe a few states that don't require that, but it's. I imagine eventually every state will require money to be paid back if it's not used.
Okay. I've got a question from Dale Olam in Reynoldsburg. Hello, Dale. Can you name the different kinds of upgrades?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I'm thinking it is the different kinds of upgrade programs. I have another question here that also wants to know the different kinds of programs, like exactly what the different programs are, the different levels.
Like the thing is, I'm wondering, are they asking about the
basic,
levels
black
or the
belt
curriculum?
Club.
Right. I mean, you know, we... that's pretty much it. You know, Black Belt Club is the first level of program, usually master's training, they call it, or elite training. is another, higher tier, and then leadership team is the what we consider the highest tier of training. You really can call them whatever you want to call them. I don't think it really matters as long as you're creating that vision of what that experience is. You can call it drama club. As long as you're, the kids are excited to want to be in it, and the adults are, all your students want to be in it, and they see the value in it, it doesn't necessarily matter. But I think the classic, the first thing that was the old days, it was BBC or Black Belt Club. And, I don't think there was a whole lot of value in it back in the day when it used to be, you joined the Black Belt Club, you paid more, and you got a different color uniform and an ID card that said you were in the Black Belt Club. But really, it's evolved over the years, and now it's about providing a valuable service. So whatever you call it is what you decide to call it. You don't have to go by, what the rules are. You're making your own rules in your school, and simply make sure that each program has the value. Now, if you're doing a tiered program, you want to make sure that the higher level programs don't have less value than the lower level programs. If your BBT offers our BBT offers 15 minutes of training after the class. The master's training is the next level up. That really has to be more advanced than that BBT. Otherwise, we're not structuring it correctly. So, I don't know if that answers the question or not, but let me know if any other questions pop up like that.
All right. I've got another one here from Dwight in Miami, and he would like you to repeat your strategy pricing your upgrade tuition versus basic tuition.
Well, basic tuition, I'll start, I'm going to use $100, and it doesn't necessarily, $100 is kind of easy, so it doesn't matter what my price is or what your price is. Your base price could be $150. I'm just using $100 as a marker because it's kind of easy to view. The monthly fee would be $100 for the basic program per month, and the structure would be 12 months for us. We don't enroll anybody in anything under a year program except for our very youngest students. So it's $100 a month for that basic program. The upgrade program is $25 more, so that would make our BBT $125. Our master's training is $150. Our leadership training is $175. That's the strategy we follow, $25 more. Again, I know schools that do just a black belt training and a leadership training. So their basic program may be $100 more, $100, and their BBT may be $150. So they may skip $50 in between, and their leadership may go up to $200. So it's really all about what you're comfortable to selling. I think the lower the price, the easier it is to sell, the less people that will be in there. That less people will be apt to decline. The higher the price, the harder it is to get people. So I find that $25 increase between programs, not a whole lot. And then,
right.
Then of course we have down payments on those programs, and the down payment structure may be something like $100 down for the basic program. So. In other words, their first month they might pay $195 or $200 down, and then 11 payments of $100. Okay, now this is a great secret to raising prices. Instead of, if you don't want to raise your prices, just add a down payment, because you can always take a down payment and do a special. I really am not an advocate of discounting tuition, but I am okay with discounting doing an enrollment special, so the down payment can be taken lower. So I can always still say it's only $100 your first month. I'm going to save you $95 or $100 today by taking that off. And then the BBT becomes, each level becomes $100 more in their down payment. So if you're charging a $195 down for your first month of basic, you'd be charging $295 down for your first month of BBT, $395 for master's, $495 for leadership. And that's exactly what we do. We charge $495 for leadership, and we have people who gladly pay that and then buy the gear package. And occasionally we do discounts. So you can offer them a credit or offer them, a gift certificate for $100 off upgrade, any upgrade program. So it's really, it is about what you're comfortable. Some people are not comfortable going, hey, that's $495 for your first month's tuition, and then it's going to be $200 a month, and then how would you like to buy this $300 gear package? Okay, that's, you know, $1,000. It really, you have to make sure you, when you're pricing these things, that you have a strategy. So, you know, if I'm not comfortable asking somebody for $500 down, if I don't really believe that I can get that, they're not going to buy it, and I'm going to have nobody in my upgrade program. Does that explain?
Okay. Yep.
Cool.
Okay, the next question. We got a couple more questions here. I have Joe from Franklin Square, New York. He says, we currently have multiple programs at different prices. Do you increase your prices yearly on your base program to offset the increased cost of doing business?
No. We haven't increased our price in a while. It just depends on whether you like your price points or not. There's other profit centers in the school, so it's not necessarily about tuition. It's about getting them to do, you know, graduation fees for us are separate. We have special events. We have, you know, parties. We have retail. So really, and that's what I'm speaking about at Super Show, is the integrated sales approach, is really trying to maximize all the profit centers of your school. So ideally, I'm more concerned with my student value than I am with my billing of my students, if that makes sense. So I want my student value to be between $175 and $200 a student. I have to do what's appropriate to get them to that point. You know, if I, you know, the higher your tuition, technically, the harder it is to sell the program. So if you're not, you know, and you look at your statistics, I mean, if you're enrolling 100% of the people into your program and there's never price objections, then it's definitely free reign to raise your prices. But it's not necessarily about what you're charging per month. It's about what you're getting people to pay every month. So I have people on a $125 program, but on average they're paying like $150 a month, $160 a month, because the gross is being driven up. And that's a whole, like I said, that'll be talking about at the Super Show, and that is an excellent, excellent topic. I'm telling you, come to that presentation, because it's a money-making presentation.
Okay, I think we have time for a couple more here. I've got Bill has a question. He says, if you have a program with both classes doing weapons, how do you get them in the upgrade, or do you stop weapons in the core program? And if so, what is the process? People have already spent money on the weapons that they may not want to upgrade.
Right.
How would you convert them without losing them?
Right. There's a lot of answers for that question. You never want to participate in takeaway strategies. You never want to take away from your current students. On the one hand, you can always rearrange your curriculum. If you have to drastically rearrange your curriculum, you have to grandfather people. I'm a firm believer that you cannot go to people and say, for those of you who are in this class, we're totally changing the curriculum, you have to pay more. I know you've been here and you're kind of doing the same thing, but you have to pay more now. You have to go to them and say, we're expanding the experience a little bit. We're going to change things around a little bit, but the good news is you guys are all grandfathered in. And that makes them, they understand that, they're fine with that, and they're going to be happy about that. Every new member that comes through your door, though, is not grandfathered in. You can do whatever you want with them. You know, we always did sparring in our basic program. Some schools who do black belt club, black belt training type programs don't do sparring in their basic program. And that was a decision that we made to not take that away, because it is a takeaway approach. And if we did it, our strategy would have to be everybody who already spar, everybody who already in the basic program, you're grandfathered into the BBT and you don't have to pay. And as I said before, it depends on the size of your school. If your school is small, you know, you can grandfather everybody in and not lose a lot of money. But with us, when we did that, we had the decision to make with 200 students, do we grandfather everybody into BBT? Well, that's a lot of money left on the table, and we weren't comfortable doing that. So it is a lot of it is about what's going on in your program. But if weapons, and that's a trick, you know, weapons are incorporated into your basic program, that's okay. You can find different things, because probably not every weapon is in there, and you can do different things with it. Let's say combative weaponry is in your children's program, for example. Well, you know, you can go out and do performance weaponry. That's a whole other thing. You know, if you're using the wood boken, the heavy wood boken, you can do chumbada. You can get the foam weapons and incorporate that. If you're doing that, you can go get the XMA swords and do performance swords, blare the music. So as long as whatever you're doing is creating another level of experience, it's an upgrade. And, you know, you think about it as getting on the airplane. It's when you get on the airplane, you're sitting in that uncomfortable seat where you're scrunched in the middle of two people. You might gladly pay a little more to go sit in an exit row. Maybe you'll pay even more to go sit in first class or business class. So your programs have to be the same thing. You know, I don't mean make your basic program uncomfortable that at all, but I mean your next level program has to be more. And to do that, you have to change something. But if it's going to affect your current students, simply grandfather them in. And that's, you know, the students that we have today in 2, 3, 4 years, everybody says their retention rate is low, but we churn students in and out. Everybody does. And when you start looking at your quit rate over a period of time, you know, the students you have today are not going to be your students in a couple of years. And as you grandfather people in, they're moving out and new people are moving in. So eventually it gets to the point where the change is no problem at all. But definitely grandfather those people in if you can find no other way out of that.
All right, great. Eric in Gainesville had a follow-up question. He wanted to know how much of a discount you offered for your Paid in Fulls. I think you might have answered that by 10%.
Yeah, we do 10% for Pay in Fulls. And we, you know, we change it. I mean, we like to get 10% of our gross in Pay in Fulls or under, you know, 10% or under in Pay in Fulls. So we don't want to go. We've had months recently, for whatever reason, and it's the most bizarre thing. You know, everybody says we're heading into a recession, and last month we did the biggest Pay in Full month ever. We did like 30% in Pay in Full. So it's, you know, when you have months like that, it's time to investigate your statistics and investigate your pricing, and take the discount away if everybody is paying in full. So it's really what your statistics should tell you what to do. If you're getting nobody paying in full, then figure out why and fix it. You know, for us, when we present our pricing, we have a little sheet that has the options on it. Option A is a pay in full. Option B is 3 payment option. Option C is 12 payment option. And each one has the discount amount next to it. And we use 10% for pay in fulls, 5% for the 3 payment option. And we really don't mess around with that too much for the upgrades. If it's a slow month with pay in fulls, we may offer a 15% upgrade. So it's really, your stats got to show you. I just don't think more than 10% is needed for us, because we get what we need with that. You know, like I said, if you're not getting anything, I don't think you want to go hog wild and offer more than 20%. I think that would be a little alarming, but again, you know, it's all about what your numbers are telling you. There's not necessarily, you got to make sure you know the answer to the problem too. For example, if you may be doing 25% off for your pay in fulls, but nobody does it, is it because the price is too high? Is it because nobody knows you do a pay in full program? You know, what is the reason? So you really want to try and identify the reason why you're not getting it, or identify the reason why you're getting too many, and then adjust appropriately.
All right, and his second question was, do you include the BBC and Master Club curriculum for testing?
Yeah, we actually just started doing that, and that's a great question. If you can do that, it adds even more value to the program, because they start looking at it as a piece of the curriculum. However, you walk the line there, because you don't want to make people think that you have to have that for testing. I personally don't believe that. I don't like that strategy. There are, and again, there, I know very successful school owners who, you sign up for the 6-month program, and at 6 months you enroll into the BBT or you hit the bricks, and it works well for them. I don't like that strategy. So anybody at our school can be in the basic program, get to black belt and beyond, but we do we take the kids who are in the BBT and essentially stand them up and have them do a demo at the testing, and we tell them it becomes part of their graduation requirement. But it's not like their core requirement because, again, we don't want to make that culture of a takeaway thing. Like, I don't want my basic people to go, I can't test for my next belt because I'm not in black belt training and quit over it. But doing a demo at the graduation is a marketing strategy. It's going to make the kids feel great, and it's going to show everybody else in your school what your BBT, Black Belt Club, Masters Club is. So that's a great question.
Okay, and that's it. I have one more question, but it's actually a question for me. It was Devin in Springfield wants to know how he can get the leadership training and the musical forms. And I just wanted to let you know that you can get it through the rewards store through your Member Solutions account. So if you go into your Member Solutions account and you go to the rewards store, you can see your discounted pricing there. Or you can just call into the sales team at 888-277-4409, and they can take care of that for you. Is there anybody else on the line that has a question? All right, well, I think that's it. Thank you so much, Mike, for being with us today.
Oh, my
pleasure. And congratulations again on the Consulting Apprentice.
Well, thank you very much.